You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Richie Rich Show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Doing stuff, forgetting what year it is, making podcasts, creating art. We're doing it all, and we're doing it all with this Richie Rich cartoon. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stacatus.
Who here is making art?
Oh, every one of my episodes is art, Chan. You just don't understand it.
I'm making Art Garfunkel out of Play-Doh.
What are you making Paul Simon out of?
Nothing. He knows what he did.
Married Edie Mikkel. That should have been me. Curse you, New Bohemians.
Man, I didn't think we were going to open this episode with an Art Garfunkel ref, but here we are.
I know what our audience likes.
Our rapidly aging audience.
I know what our audience likes, Jell-O in the retirement home. That's what audience
likes. I don't know if they like it, but that's all that they can gum. So
that's all they can eat. Anyway, we are talking about Richie Rich this week. I'm surprised we have not done a Richie Rich cartoon up to this point. As a kid, I absolutely hated this cartoon. And as an adult, I also absolutely hated this cartoon. I hate this character. The fact he was played by, Macaulay Culkin in a live-action movie enraged me because I didn't like him either.
No. I mean,
not a fan of his performing.
Also, just, basic Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I didn't hate it. It's just so on brand for Hanna-Barbera. I do like the fact that they're like, hey, we're going to have a rich kid, but the other rich people are also going to be bad guys.
Nah, because that just perpetuates the myth of the good billionaire.
Yeah.
That's true.
This is my problem in the year 2025 in our late stage capitalism is the idea that Richie Rich exists already. Like, he's just a spoiled ass rich kid who's never struggled a day in his life, just buying his way from scenario to scenario with his family's money that he did not earn. It is galling. It is galling to watch a show like this.
Everyone knows the best way to stop a bad guy with $1 billion is a good guy with $1 billion.
I thought you were going to say the best way to stop a bad guy with hypnotized gorillas is a good guy with hypnotized gorillas.
Also true. I would argue, call this a moral argument. I would argue that if you have $1 billion, you are not a good guy in order to achieve that goal. Discuss.
Answer me this, because I very much was thinking about this today while I was making dinner. Is Taylor Swift a good billionaire?
Boy, that's a tough question.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the true good billionaire, as you know, is Dolly Parton, who gives away enough so that she's no longer a billionaire.
That's how you do it. If Taylor Swift gave away enough to not be a billionaire, she would no longer be a billionaire and thus a good billionaire. What does she need $1 billion for?
She does give away a lot. But yeah, I don't know. I just know that like Dolly Parton would be on the like world's richest list, but she gives away so much that she doesn't like qualify as an actual billionaire. She would be an actual billionaire if she did not give away as much.
But that's ethical though.
Yes.
Richie Rich is not ethical.
I mean, it's not even so much that as that he's such a Mary Sue. Like, he can do everything, and he's like got superpowers on top of just having like all the gadgets.
Yeah. Like a lot of robots in his world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he straight ties up a bunch of gorillas. Like, he super speeds, you know, like hog ties them, which it's one thing if you pull out your magic ray gun that some professor gave you, but it's another to like actually have physical feats that are more than mere mortal men, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Didn't care for this. Didn't care for him. It looks like it's, well, I don't know. Well, we'll get into it as we get into it, I suppose. Like, it's just, he's so ostentatious with his wealth, and you never see him doing good with his wealth. It's usually just following his whim in that moment and buying his way out of every situation that he comes across. You know, we'll get into it in this episode. There's a couple different sections to it, but like when that family loses their house, they're like, oh, let's rebuild the house. And Richie Rich says, no, we just bought you a new one and we're flying it in now for billions of dollars.
I mean, it's nice. It's nice that he replaced their wrecked house.
I guess
it takes away their agency. We can get to it when we get to it, because there are many segments in this show.
We will. It just, you know, Chan, you play, this will be brief, but you play the Arkham Horror. There's a character in there who has a one, basically the minimum in every skill, but he's a millionaire. And he just gets a whole lot of resources every single turn through his inheritance. And he just buys his way through all of the skill checks he needs to make. And I hear he's a lot of fun to play, but I kept thinking about him during this Richie Rich episode where he needed somebody to give him a gadget or give him a solution all the time because he couldn't do much on his own.
I mean, he also is a child.
Says you. No billionaire children. Slam.
Maybe he should get sucked out the fuselage of his private jet.
Maybe that should happen. I hope that's our, I don't know if that was our,
it was post-credits. Before we started recording.
Oh, that's Listen, too bad. That would have been
everyone can appreciate a very, very rich child being sucked out a fuselage on a private jet.
I'll go so far as to say I'm in favor of it. How about that? Vote yes. Click the red button. I will. It won't count because I live in Rockland County. But the point I'm trying to make here is that money hedges. This just opens with a flyover of a family reunion that Richie Rich is having at his mansion. And they have hedges in the shapes of dollar bills. And I'm supposed to like and appreciate these people.
If you were that rich, are you telling me, listen, I've been to your house. You've got colored lights for every holiday. Are you telling me that you wouldn't have your gardener shape your hedges into money hedges?
No shot at all. Look, the one ostentatious piece of wealth that I have is the fact that I got permanent Christmas lights put on the outside of my house. And that was great. And I love it. That is not money hedges.
They're always flashing money green, which is weird.
No, I only have them flashing green. That's correct. Just to remind people that I'm richer than they are now. But don't tell me you don't love my outdoor permanent Christmas lights. You can't. And this is where we get introduced to Dollar the Dog. I don't care for Dollar the Dog.
Frank Welker.
I do care for Frank Welker. He's a tremendous performer.
No, you just said you hated him.
I hate this character. This dog is an absolute dipshit. And I think Richie Rich is a scumbag. And Dollar the Dog sees a sexy poodle. These rich people, I don't like them walking in the door and they do nothing to win me over. Like, Dollar the Dog is Richie Rich's dog. He sees a sexy poodle at this family reunion. So already gross. But also, he goes over to try to, like, get with the sexy poodle. He gets rejected by the sexy poodle. And then, like, the sexy poodle's rich lady owner walks over and kicks the dog across the yard. Gina, how did you feel about that?
You know what? I'm kind of okay with it.
Okay, hold on. Have you been replaced by a synth? No, are you an imposter?
There's a lot of conflicting things going on here, because if Gina says she likes the dog because it's an animal, mm-hmm. then the dog mm-hmm. clearly is initiating sexual assault.
Yes.
So she supports sexual assault. It's trying to. But if she doesn't support the animal, then she supports kicking dogs across the yard, which is pretty heinous. And it's a billionaire to boot. So, I mean, Gina's in a no-win situation here.
Yeah, exactly. Once he started, he's like 2 seconds away from getting up behind that dog and humping her. So I'm glad that he got his ass handed to him. Wow. Also, he doesn't learn his lesson, because at the end of the episode, he goes after the same dog who already made it clear she is not interested in him, and he does not care.
Oh, yeah, she got her own type.
Chan, what does that mean?
She likes a pig.
Yeah, did you not watch the fucking cartoon?
Oh, I didn't see her getting with the pig.
I mean, pretty hard to miss. The dog fucking a pig seems like something you take notice of.
You know what? I must have a blindness to it.
Or maybe he had to pause the video to jerk off.
Gene, I don't pause the video. I just rewind it over and over again. Please. Here's what
a white guy would be blind to pigs. You don't have to worry about it. Like some of us.
I have no defense. I'm moving forward. It's a family reunion of the rich family. Great. Everyone there is a millionaire. There are a lot of people there. Everyone there is a millionaire. And so Richie Rich gets really annoyed that all his relatives are so rich. I'm sorry, as we're going through late stage capitalism, this is infuriating to me. Anyway, he goes on the computer in 1980, which is crazy, and he goes to look for not rich relatives. And he finds fourth cousins in Pig Swill Hollow. They are rednecks, or as they would refer to themselves as, richnecks, living basically in the bayou or something.
At first, I thought that this was going to be a, haha, look at these ignorant hicks episode, and that Richie Rich was going to be, because like his whole thing is, oh, I'm sick of these rich relatives, I'm going to go to like the least rich relatives that we have. And I thought it was going to be like he gets there and they're idiots and he gets sick of them and realizes that he loves the rich life. I was pleasantly surprised. They genuinely enjoy their life. And the bad guys are land developers, just like in Scooby-Doo. There's one thing that Hanna-Barbera knows. It's that land developers are all evil.
It's not great. I mean,
we still know that, right? We should still know that. Everybody still knows that.
I think
landlords.
Yeah, it's vermin. Hasn't stopped being true. I don't know. But the Mr. Dude, as far as I'm concerned, that's what he called him. Mr. Dude, the bad guys. They're just two like mobsters, basically. Two Scooby-Doo mobsters. They offer them $1,000 for their whole farm. Because there's oil on the farm and the richnecks don't know about it.
I was a little concerned that this isn't the bayou. This is Tennessee.
Oh, okay, you're right.
Clearly is meant to be real America.
Mm-hmm.
Although.
They don't have shoes, Chan. What do you mean?
Yeah,
but that's because they prefer it. They prefer not having shoes. Not because they don't have money for shoes. They have enough money for a butler.
This is the okay. This is what I'm confused about. These are his least wealthy relatives. Uh-huh. They live in a shack, but they have a scent-shaped swimming hole as opposed to a dollar bill-sized pool. They have a pig with scent symbols on it instead of a dog, but they also have a full butler, an English butler, and a robot maid.
Well, but before we get to that, even they have a it's a limousine, a horse-drawn limousine.
A horse-drawn limousine, that's right.
So I feel like the deal is less that they're not rich, but it's interpreted through like the Flintstones lens.
Yeah. Like
everything you have, we have, but different and not qualitatively different. just, you know, like whatever genre improv game we're playing.
It's a lateral move.
Well, I think that this is kind of funny. Like they're, instead of a dog named Dollar, they have a pig named No Scent. No Sense.
No Sense.
And yet he stinks to high heaven. So I don't understand how that works.
But like, I think that they are his poorest relatives. But I thought the point was like, oh, even sort of the poorest hicks still are kind of like living the high life for where they are.
Yes. I don't know. I guess in my head, when the premise was laid out to us, I thought he was going to visit like real people and not just the redneck version of him.
Ray, when you're that rich, the other rich people who are slightly less rich than you are the real people.
That is unfortunately absolutely true. Rich people don't hang out with us.
Yeah.
Rich people hang out with slightly less rich people. That's a very good point. Also infuriating in the year 2025. I'm just saying.
They have a, gosh, what is, I guess it's a coal stove, but there's flowers on it. They have a dining room table, but it's a television set. And I think that's supposed to mean that, like, which is the rich part of that? The dining room table or the television set?
Both, yo.
But like it would be.
But really rich people don't have to combine those two items.
Yeah, I guess. Also, the calendar behind it says 1925. And
they haven't replaced it.
Yeah, they can't afford a new calendar.
All right.
But they can afford a goddamn robot maid.
The pig sleeps in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Their bookshelf is a freezer.
Right. Because rich people, Chan, have both a bookshelf and a freezer separate.
Right.
Where did they get where did they get their money from?
I think,
on a dirt farm.
I think all of the riches, all of the rich family have riches.
Like they just have a bank account that just gets automatically generated with money.
They're rich in friendship?
No.
They're rich in love.
I'm ready to talk about this fucking weird robot now. It's flesh colored.
Yeah, I thought it was a person at first, but it is not because it has tentacle arms.
I thought it was a person at first too. And then it's like they make it look like a weird Cro-Magnon woman or something.
Yes. And the gag she comes in on is we have running water. She's carrying a bucket and she's running, which, okay, whatever. And then, yes, tentacles come out of her body to sweep, which is she has arms that are just there.
Yeah, so, and then I noticed the robot pieces, and it's just body horror. This is just Tetsuo the Iron Man at this point.
100%. 100%. And clearly there was a time when that wasn't the case, when the animators were looking at this and like, this is hilarious. This is a joke that children will understand and enjoy. And it's just fucking terrifying.
It is. And I would like to talk about the next part. Unless, Chan, you have more to say about the robot maid.
I'm done. It will recede from my consciousness and reside furthermore in my nightmares.
I'm going to keep thinking about it a lot. I'm not going to lie. the bad guys have plans. They say, let's start a hurricane with this device, which is just two, like, what are you, like the giant fans you see by the freeway?
It's wind power. This is what Trump was warning us about.
Yeah.
It kills the birds.
It's going to destroy your farms, your family farms.
That's one thing conservatives are worried about, wildlife. I love that argument so much. It was like, oh, you don't care about the birds, though. Why do you think this is a good argument? Anyway.
They thought other people would care enough about the birds to say, oh, no. Oh,
it's just so dishonest. Anyway, yes, these two windmills create jet force hurricanes, and they blow like the house away, and then they drop a bunch of locusts and they chase the dog with the locusts.
I mean, locusts for a farm owner is pretty fucked up.
And they say, aha, now that we've used the fans and the locusts, they will clearly sell to us. Ha ha. Except that the dog, while running away from the locusts, falls into a pit of oil and comes out in full blackface.
So you loved this part, is what you're saying?
I felt very uncomfortable watching this part. I was watching it on my lunch break, and I was afraid that I would be discovered watching a dog in blackface on my spare time and then have to have a visit to HR.
So just another Thursday for you?
I mean, truthfully, yes. That's a great point. Also, and, you know, they do a whole bit here with the pig, and the pig is going to be like, is going to find the oil, I thought. But then it's just the pig is there to sniff out the bad guys.
Yeah.
I'm very confused by this because they don't know the bad guys have done. They didn't see the bad guys do any of this, to my understanding.
But Richie Rich knows something is up. He's the smart one who's like, hey, this doesn't seem normal.
He's the Mary Sue.
And then that's when he's like, do you have a bloodhound? And they're like, hell yeah, we do. It's a pig. And then the pig does its job.
And the pig walks right onto the screen after they introduce, we got a pig. He walks right in the middle of the screen and turns and looks right at the camera.
That's very Hanna-Barbera.
And I wrote here, God damn it, what a ham. Thank you.
No.
Jen, you're proud of me. Don't act like you're not. Don't act like it. I don't believe you. You turn off your mic. You were laughing so hard.
Is that what's happening right now?
Uh-huh. I think so. So anyway, they find the bad guys and Richie Rich gets in a gold helicopter and chases after them because fuck off. That's why.
Yeah. He pulls a John Landis on him
and he catches them.
I feel like they made it out in one piece. So not quite John Landis.
Yeah, it got dark in here all of a sudden. Guys, turn down the lights. They fly in a new cabin, like I said. What was the point of...
Here comes a rich-made hurricane!
A rich-made hurricane feels like all of climate change.
I don't know. A rich-made hurricane feels like something you get roofied by when you're on spring break.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying there. Yeah.
I just asked a question, like, what was the point of this? I derived no joy from this. It was very like every single time. I mean, this is a 7-minute cartoon, so every time there was an obstacle, they just immediately resolved it. The bad guys, you know, they did a couple of mayhems, but like, what are they really? How does Richie Rich have the authority to detain them? I guess
that is the problem with a show with this many segments is that it's 6 minutes and you got to get through the entire plot, you know, the rising tension and all that, and then the payoff, and then, you know, the denouement, and everything is just kind of rushed and feels pointless. Really,
I'm just saying, like, when Ice shows up in a gold helicopter wearing, you know, stuff they bought off of Amazon and face coverings, refuse to show a warrant or identify themselves, I'm not getting in that gold helicopter. You have a right to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Richie Rich is in the right here. I think he has no authority to harass these entrepreneurs.
Oh, so you're pro land developer is what you're saying.
I'm pro anything that harms the Rich family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the new family gatherings at Pigswill Hollow. And this is apparently when the pig starts banging the poodle.
Hold on. Yeah. The house is destroyed by, you know, this, land developer made hurricane as opposed to the rich made hurricane. And rather than replace the cabin, which is what they had and what they were happy in, he gives them like a huge fuck off mansion.
Gives them a McMansion, yeah.
Which they didn't ask for.
But it is wood.
Yeah, it's a log cabin mansion.
Yeah, he at least keeps it you know, within the design aesthetic that they favored.
It's on brand.
Is it the design that they favored, or is it just the material? Like, if, you know, if you gave them like a paper mache mansion because they're really into, you know, making paper mache art, is that helpful?
I think they dig it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have agreed to throw the rich reunion there. They're clearly proud of it.
Are they, or were they told to host it? Because
no, look, even their pig is getting something out of it.
Yeah, they say they like the house.
He's poodle twat is what he's getting.
Yeah, it's what he wants.
I didn't expect poodle twat to be referred to on this show, but again, well, here we are.
You haven't been listening to this show for the past 10 years, then.
Yeah.
This is the name of this episode. Isn't Richie Rich? It's just going to be Art Garfunkel's poodle twat.
That's what our audience wants.
That's what the people crave. Oh my God.
Are we done now? Can we
go? No, we've got like 5 more segments, Chan. Let's pick up the pace a little bit. We have a one shot here, like they do little oneies, called Gems. And I didn't understand this at all. Like the other kids are saying what they have in their lunch at school. And then they get to Richie Rich.
You don't understand a blackout sketch, Ray?
Hold on.
I get that, but what was the joke here?
You jumped ahead about 15 minutes.
Oh, I did. Excuse me. The first one, you're right. We'll get to that when we get to it. I have time to keep thinking about it. I scrolled down and I lost my place. They do a bit where these two kids are marveling at the Richie Rich mansion and how many houses and bathrooms. And then they come pull back and they go, and that's just the birdhouse.
I mean, this is a funny bit, I thought. I would have laughed if I was a kid. If I was a kid, I would have laughed.
I would have thought about all the children living in poverty.
No, you wouldn't have. You would
they
have pumped
have school
yourself.
Lunches in 1980.
You would have pumped yourself full of Pepsi Clear or whatever they were making when you were a kid that you were guzzling down. High C Ecto Cooler.
Tiny baby when this came out. What are you talking about?
And then you would have gone, yeah, I love the rich.
I feel like Crystal Pepsi was a 90s thing. Very clear.
First
this
off.
Was 1980.
Well, he's watching it in reruns. They aired it in reruns.
I see. So he's drinking Crystal Pepsi as a 12-year-old?
No, this tracks.
Okay.
I'm a Methuselah at this point. And this is a perfectly working and acceptable blackout sketch. The next one, not so much. No. But we'll get to it when we do, I guess. Here's the deal. The next episode is called Treasure Chest.
Well, no, that's the name of the segment. Like the gems are the short ones, and Treasure Chest is the longer segments. There was a breakdown somewhere.
I didn't pick up on that.
I looked it up and then I deleted it because why would I want that information?
I didn't understand why this was called Treasure Chest, but that I guess is a better explanation than what I got. We open with a Poochie Yum Yum's dog food commercial. Excellent name for a dog food brand. If I had a dog and was in the market for dog food because I wasn't starving it, I would buy Poochie Yum Yum's dog food. Not since Yappy's dog treats in UHF have I clamored for a non-existent dog product like this.
Yeah, I bet it's either delicious or the rich family who owns this dog food chain fills it with disgusting filler like pig buttholes.
Well, they didn't get rich by not filling their dog food with pig buttholes.
Oh, here we go. The Richie Rich Riches segments that deal with threats to the rich family, or more specifically, Richie. So in this case, it was the poors that were on the family tree. The Treasure Chest segments that revolve around Dollar or Cadbury. That's this one revolves around Dollar. The Richie Rich Gems are the short segments for humor. Based on one-page comic book stories, and then Zillion Dollar Adventures are the ones that deal with his friends fighting master criminals, aliens, and other threats to the world.
And that was the longer one, was the last one.
Yeah.
At least it felt that way. But,
I mean, they all felt real long.
This whole thing felt real. I will say right now that when I'm uninterested in a property, I will do the pause and see how much time is left. And this was right at the end of the Pig Swill Hollow. Well, obviously, we're at least like halfway through this cartoon. No, we are. No, we are 7 minutes
Whoa,
deep.
No.
No, not even close. You have more suffering to do. It's like I got Pinhead in the room with me, and he's just showing me Richie Rich cartoons.
The I have such sights to show you. It's just a little TV showing fucking 80s cartoons.
You know, to be fair, what would be the difference? That's all our personal hell. This episode could have not happened. Like, literally, all the mayhem and hijinks and problems are all self-created. Literally, I mean, look, if Poochie could just stay home and we could just be at the end of the episode, but we don't do that.
This is, in a very real sense, a filler episode, because we have the G.I. Joe movie on the horizon, but also we're all out of town for the holidays, so this is just some warmed over shit that I'm sorry that the audience has to put up with, but also we have to as well, so we're in this boat together.
It's fine. This is fine. I don't know. It's there's just nothing happens in this part of the cartoon. Okay, here's the deal. There's a Poochie Yum Yums dog food commercial, and Richie Rich, the dog, is like, I'm hungry for this food. I want it. Turns out they don't have any at the house, despite the fact that the Richie Rich family owns the factory and or dog food company.
That is very weird.
Well, I mean, he didn't say, I mean, it's not that they don't have it at the house.
Didn't Richie offer many.
No, but I mean, it's possible that they never had it there. That they were unaware that Dollar was interested in Poochie Yum Yums. This happens to be a company that Richie's family owns.
But and that's so, why would you not have that food at your house then? It must be pigs' buttholes.
Because it's why would you?
Why would you?
Dollar probably is eating like freaking rotisserie chickens made by Wolfgang Puck.
Oh, that's probably true. Maybe they're good giving point. Him. Maybe they're giving him the good stuff, and he's like, "I want a fucking cheese. I want a Big Mac. Yeah. Give me like fuck your Wagyu. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I want a Big Mac."
I just, you know, when you go, I go by this in the grocery store. And I see that there's a special like dog food treat that's kept in a special refrigerated unit in the dog food aisle. I get really upset.
What?
We have starving people in this country, Chan. Uh-huh. But there's people that need an extra refrigerator at the grocery store for their dog's special dog treats.
Maybe if you stop shopping at goddamn Gelson's, then that wouldn't be a problem.
This is Ralph's, Chan, and not even the fancy one.
Oh, you mean the one that has the strike coming because the workers are revolting against the poor wages and working conditions?
Yeah, you know what? If I had to work at Ralph's and they wouldn't let me have a chair to check people out, which is already madness, and then I had to like go to on my way to punch out and go home for the night, I had to walk by Richie Rich's dog food freezer in an aisle that is not typically refrigerated, I would be going on strike immediately. Immediately.
Yeah.
Give them chairs, Chan. I don't know why you hate grocery store employees.
I'm a big fan. And when that strike goes through, man, I ain't going to no Kroger's.
No, I'll have to, instead of going to Kroger, I'll have to go to, you know, Food for Less or Ralph's. Wait, what? What's going on?
Bad news on that front. Also, I believe I believe Albertsons and that chain is all of those subsidiaries are also on the list. So,
yeah, there's very few Albertsons left, though.
I was going to say I haven't seen an Albertsons in ages.
There's a couple of there's like two up here in the valley that I know of. I believe
it's because you don't go south of Melrose.
No, Gina only gets her groceries on Rodeo Drive. I don't know if you guys know
well,
that.
That's
She eats her diamonds. The point I'm trying to make is Dad is a factory of dog food, and they say no dogs allowed. And so the dog shows up anyway and tries to rush the gate and gets its shit kicked by a robot. A lot of robots. I mentioned that before. Robot guards, robot employees.
I've been trying to figure out what the deal is because, you know, like Jetsons, it makes sense. Like, okay, everything that is when we run it through the Jetsons lens, a lot of stuff becomes automated with robots. And if you're doing some sort of, you know, technological thing, like they're going into some sort of computer factory, sure, it's be a bunch of robots there. It doesn't make sense why they would have robots at Poochie Yum Yum's factory, especially not.
Is this a warning like for the future?
Security guard? Like maybe if like on the factory floor and they're like the ones making the stuff, whatever. Okay, sure, like a high tech factory. But a fucking security guard? Why?
So because the rich people don't have to pay their employees. That's how they stay rich, Chan. They probably invented that automatic ordering thing at McDonald's they're using now.
The cost to make a humanoid robot that can distinguish between authorized personnel and not just by sight would cost more than the GDP of the United States of America in 1980.
But this is the thing. They have them. So, and they're not employing anybody. They are parasites. The rich family are leeches on the American dream.
Yeah.
They're takers. They're not makers, Mitt Romney.
Yeah. I mean,
didn't expect this episode to get so political.
I mean, I did. That's why I picked the goddamn thing.
Oh yeah, good point. You're the anarchist of the crew.
That is a sad statement considering how anarchistic I am. Like I go to the occasional march and like, well, that's it for me. Which means that you people are.
Wait, me and Gino went to the protests.
The one
we didn't see you there, Chan. And as we know, there was only one, and it was in Glendale.
Glendale. All the cool people were popping off in Glendale.
That's right.
Were the cops shooting anybody in Glendale? Because they were in town.
No, they were being very polite. They weren't shooting Australian newspaper people with shotguns. That's crazy. You know, I made a video of myself in the fashion district of LA, which was allegedly rioting and on fire when I made the video. Just showing myself like walking around, cars around me, businesses open. You can't hear anything in the background. And I just put that up on Instagram to just be like, you guys, if you guys don't know, there were no riots in Los Angeles. There were a million soldiers that showed up and all of these ICE and police crews that were harassing protesters. And then like there was one dude who was throwing rocks and they got him in like four different videos causing mayhem. So I wonder what his badge number was. The point I'm trying to say here is LA is fine. There are still soldiers here as we record this and nothing is happening. They're just standing around because there's nothing to do. So I posted this video on Instagram and I just got one bot account after another being like, you're in the wrong part, clown. It's like, I am literally in the fashion district and you don't exist. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry I'm not at the exact goalposts you wanted to move me to, but I am here. There's no sounds of riot, which there would be. LA knows how to riot.
I'm rioting right now, having to do this podcast.
Gina, you are a riot.
Got her.
My God. I hope my microphone electrocutes me.
Oh man. I have been watching some Final Destination movies lately. So
still stop.
I just finished the third one and it's excellent. They're all good, Chan. Mm. They're all good. Mm. I'm stunned. Mm-hmm. Nobody told me how silly they were going to be. Insanely funny. Anyway, look, robots are now, they're giving the tour. The dog sneaks in dressed as a robot, but then turns into a dog. And I just don't, the dog gets into the factory, jumps into a vat of, what is that? Mashed potatoes?
It's a Poochie Yum Yums. Come on, man. Get with the program.
But I thought Poochie Yum Yums, which comes in sacks, was a dry dog food. This just looked like tapioca pudding. Gina, am I crazy?
Looks delicious.
I'd eat it.
Yeah, all right. I would too. Now that I think about it. But then he gets really fat and bloated. And I've never respected a dog more.
Yeah, he like really, he like goldfishes that shit. I'm surprised he didn't die.
Yeah, he's all distended and more body horror, Chan. And then he gets chased by what I refer to as the rejection robot, who's working the factory, the assembly line, and he has a giant stamp that says rejected, and he pulls out the bad ones. And then I got confused at the internal logic of the episode. I know this is crazy, because they chasing the dog jumps into a room where there's a studio in the factory, which doesn't seem like a good idea. Gina, you've been on set before. What's one thing that sets need?
I'm going to say crafty.
Okay, after craft services, obviously.
A variety of delicious beverages.
Okay, outside of food and beverage.
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
They tend to need quiet, is what I'm trying to say. They are at soundstage.
I'm focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's what kind of snacks they have.
I should have known better than to ask the question. But putting a soundstage right beyond the door of
Poochie Yum Yums.
Of a factory floor doesn't seem like a good idea. That's all I'm trying to say. And also, the rules are no dogs allowed in the factory, but once they get on the commercial set, there's like 10 dogs there. Why didn't Dollar the dog, who is trying to escape by crawling up a boom mic, just blend in with the other dogs?
Those are professional actor dogs. He's a fancy rich dog. The people on set would know the difference.
Is that right? The robots, sure. The rejection robot would know?
There's probably a dog handler robot.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, Dollar runs further, and then all those other dogs just chase him. At first, I thought he'd, like, stolen the food or something, but he didn't. They're just chasing him.
Food.
Guys, I got lost by this Richie Rich episode. I'm asking too much, but I was just hoping for basic internal logic to gel.
You've only got 5 minutes for this segment. There will be no gelling of logic here.
This wouldn't have been hard to write differently, is all I'm trying to say. Hire Gina for your next project.
It's true. I'll eat all your crafty.
Yeah, but hire her anyway.
Oh, I was saying that as a positive.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, no leftover crafties to take home to your kid. No, that's still not good. All right, well, the rejection robot catches Poochie and throws him in a trash chute, which drops him through the chute into a bin or something, and he rolls home, and he's had a bad day, but he's had a good day, I guess, but he's had a bad day. And Richie Rich comes home with two giant sacks of Poochie Yum Yums, and Dollar the dog is disgusted and doesn't want to eat them.
Those two bags are supposed to be a year's supply of Poochie Yum Yums. That looks like 6 weeks tops. And also,
I think you're feeding your dog too much.
He is the size of a goddamn sack, which means that theoretically, that's 2 days worth of Poochie Yum Yums.
This is a great point. The way Dollar can put it away.
Maybe he pooped a few times and he's smaller now.
Gina, how big are your poops that you get demonstrably smaller after you do them?
How is that possible you're pooping like 40 times a day?
I mean, in the morning, I'm Ray's size.
Wow. Wow.
I'm now of the belief that Gina drops little like rabbit poops, like a Nibbler.
That are just
from Futurama.
Super heavy, super dense.
They're just super heavy and dense.
Yeah. My poop can be used for rocket fuel.
So. Wow, this is a modern miracle, honestly. Let's get to the gems.
That segment is 3 minutes long. The entire thing. Like, they have to cram so much into such a little time. I don't want to say that I am... But I don't want to compliment them on their skill in doing that. I just think that, like, that's too fucking short. Like,
it's for real. It was 3 minutes long. It felt like 3 hours.
Yes, it did. And it was. So, yeah, make of that what you will.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You got them. Here's Kenner's SSP Peewees. They're great little SSPs. The driver's in his cockpit, in goes the easy pull T-stick, a quick tug and they're off, scooting along indoors or out. They're so easy to rev up and race. SSP Peewees with easy pull T-sticks and driver. Each racer sold separately.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Can anybody explain this next blackout sketch to me? All the kids are saying what's in their lunch bags. I got peanut butter and jelly. I got a turkey avocado sandwich or whatever the hell that one weird kid had. And then at the end, they're like, Richie, what's in your lunch bag? And he goes, I don't know. Cut to the butler has a serving tray and a dinner conch or whatever it's called over it.
Cloche.
That was very close.
Do you not watch The Bear? Because I don't.
I do watch, you know what? I do watch The Bear. Greatest comedy we have going for us right now. Very funny show.
My gosh.
Very funny comedy.
I mean, don't blame Ray for this one. That's on them.
I do blame Ray for this one.
They asked my opinion beforehand and they're like, is The Bear funny? I say, it's hilarious. They're
I mean,
like,
every that's because they cater to white Rays in Hollywood. So he's the one setting this nonsense.
Hold on.
It was just me and Ray Stevenson, and unfortunately, yeah, it's just me
now. The fact that you called him and you called them as a class white Rays suggests that there are other colors of Rays, and now I am very interested to see what brown Ray
feels. Chan, you're not familiar with the United Rays of Benetton?
I'm not.
I mean, listen, there's Ray J.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
I can't think of any other Rays.
There's Ray Parker Jr., writer of Ghostbusters.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's two black Rays.
Let's forget Ray Charles.
Three black Rays. Uh-huh.
Wow, we're killing it here.
I would make the argument that Ray is not particularly a white name. In fact, if you spell it R-E-Y, it becomes a heavily, obviously, Star Wars name.
Is that a class of people that we need to contend with now?
Sadly, yes.
Are there any Hispanic or Asian Rays?
Yeah, they're called REY. And I you know what? I'm not sure about the Asian Rays. I mean, there have to be.
I knew one in improv circles. So there's one Ray.
Yeah.
There has to be.
If you would like to know what I do not want to try AI mode. The Chinese name for Ray can be represented in several ways depending on the specific nuance you wish to convey. If you're looking for a transliteration, the most common is R-U-I with a schwa, which means auspicious or lucky.
I Googled Chinese man named Ray, and I came up with Ray Cordero.
Who's Ray Cordero?
Okay.
He's a Hong Kong broadcaster and DJ. He looks cool as hell. Hang on.
You know, here I am now on the, well, Gina looks that up. I'm on the Any Means Possible Wiki, AMP Wiki, where there's a character named Ray Asian Boy, who was born in 2005, and his name is Chen Rui Ray Su, and he is better known online as Ray Asian Boy.
Oh no, Ray Cordero's
a Taiwanese
dead.
YouTuber. And Twitch streamer.
What I'm realizing from this Ray Cordero thing, because it says he was known for hosting All the Way with Ray. So I guess every Ray across every color scheme hosts podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. Every single one of us is online in some capacity. you don't get to access our private Google Drive.
Yo, this Ray Cordero died at 98. He has got you beat by about 28 years, Ray.
He was the world's longest working DJ. He started as a Hong Kong public broadcaster in 1960. I am sorry for this diversion, but I am fascinated now. Oh my God. The other colors of rays are so much better than you, man.
I didn't say I was even close to the best one. I can't be the worst
you
one.
You were like, Ray Stevenson died. That makes me the best Ray. Huzzah. No, sir. No way, man.
I mean, look, I have to just accept my fate.
Wait, are we done with the podcast? Are we just moving on to the various Rays podcast?
No, we still.
I mean, that'd be great. We got one ultra long cartoon. Look, here's the deal. Can anybody explain this joke? The joke is that his butler carries his lunch for him. Well, that's the joke.
Joke is that everybody has their lunch bags, and Richie Rich is also like just a normal kid who has a lunch bag with food in it, but the butler carts it around under a cloche, which is appalling. And
it's very upsetting.
All of them should be murdered. They should break out the guillotine, and Richie Rich needs to be beheaded.
Richie Rich, carry your own goddamn lunch, you parasite.
I mean, listen, this is the butler clearly likes this.
Oh yeah. I mean, of course he was asking for it. Look at what he was wearing.
If Richie Rich decides not to let the butler bring his lunch anymore, that butler might be out of a job.
Uh-huh. So you're saying that he has no other qualifications. He has been caring for this child his entire goddamn life, taking care of his every whim, and he doesn't.
I think Richie treats him well.
Oh, does he?
I think he does. I don't think he's using him as like a footstool or anything. I don't think he's making him listen to Ray's podcasts.
I mean, I didn't say he was torturing him.
I'm just saying, like, how dare you?
It's bad.
Hey, new episode of My Three Dads dropped not that long ago. Maybe go check that one out.
Wow.
It's pretty good. Pretty good episode.
Are you saying that in the future tense or the past tense? from
I think it was
as we're at the time we're recording it right now.
Well, this is going up next week while we're all out of town, so.
So have you put it up yet?
I think so.
Okay.
Didn't I put it up last week? Okay, as you're listening to this, let me know. Did 2 weeks ago, Ray put up an episode of My Three Dads.
This is, okay, this I feel bad about in terms of going off the rails. Let's get back to the cartoon.
Last My Three Dads was June 5th, so there you go.
Well, there you go.
June 5th. Do we have another one since then? I don't know. Anyway, now on Safari. We're in Richie Rich's private jungle. Like, I couldn't hate him more. He has entrapped animals for his leisure.
Yeah, this is the worst of all of them, I think. Especially because he's, like, taking a date to his private jungle cruise. And he's just, like, all the animals are out with each other. Yeah, if I were this girl, I'd be like, hey, man, next time just take me to a P.F. Chang's or something.
I believe she is also Richie Richardson. So...
Oh.
She's like a cousin? Well, that makes sense.
What is the name of the character? Gloria Glad?
So she's just thrilled to not have money.
I thought she was just a schoolmate.
Well, anyway, I'm going to keep going while Chan looks it up. Look, he's got a private jungle that's so mismanaged that it's overcrowded, and he has to send his animals back to Africa. Somewhere Charlie Kirk got a boner.
He specifically says to one of his like land reserves.
Yeah, they have an Eastern and Western African reserve, but they found gold and diamonds on their African properties. So Richie Rich is like, well, that sucks. Poachers are going to show up now.
Yeah. And then we discover that he also has a North and South area. Yeah.
So they're going to Mystery Mountain in their flying ark. They show up and pitch a two-story tent and have a machine that makes instant peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Again, where are these? Who's this girl and where are her parents? Because she's allowed to go on an African safari with a rich schoolmate.
Apparently, Gloria Glad is a girl that Richie has a crush on.
I knew
she
it.
She values his friendship and accompanies him on adventures. She's known for her infamous denial of luxury gifts and gets angry at Richie for showing off wealth, even if unintentionally. Oh. So we didn't get to see that at all in this, but she is.
She seemed on board for all of the ostentatious wealth in this episode.
Yeah.
In this wiki, it says she's in a poverty-stricken family, which feels a little weird to state.
She's wearing some nice clothes.
Yeah.
We're skipping meals so she can have, you know, Dolce and Gabbana. What is happening right now?
Well, I mean, anyway, clearly trying to get her married off into, you know, this rich family.
Well, who could blame them? Anyway, the dog pulls a Jar Jar Binks and gets stuck in the PB&J making machine.
I mean, to be fair, that machine is fucking wild. And there's no reason that he should have any idea. They call it later on, they call it a peanut butter and jelly disc. It looks like maybe something like the size of a walnut. So I was like, oh, and he calls it instant peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Instant PB&J. I'm
like,
oh, yeah.
They're going to put it in the water and it's going to like boop, turn into.
That's what I thought was going to happen. Yeah.
But instead, it morphs like clay into a machine, a dual-headed machine, one side of which dispenses peanut butter and the other side jelly. The bread. Oh yeah, no, a little arm.
The bread comes from the peanut butter side.
Yeah, a little arm pops out of the thing and puts it down.
It is wild. It is a monstrosity. It is an abomination, and it should not be.
The other arm from the jelly side grabs Dollar by the scruff of his neck and holds him down like he's a goddamn police officer getting excited over a black dude on the curb. I don't understand any of this.
But like, functionally, for making a sandwich, why would it do that?
It makes no sense.
When you make a PB&J sandwich, do you put the bread down, spread out the peanut butter, and then just put your hand on top of
you
the,
grab the peanut butter to the hold peanut it butter down? Piece,
shove it down while you spray jelly on the back of your hand, because that's how this machine operates.
I mean, I will admit to not being able to get through making an entire sandwich before I decide I just want to eat it. So I think that's what he was doing.
There's never been a more on brand thing that Gina has said in this podcast.
If you were making the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and your cat walked by, would you grab it by the scruff of its neck and jam it down onto the bread while you spread the jelly?
I would now.
It just seems weirdly psychosexual is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, I'm ready to just push
the
through
professor
this part.
Designed this is so it exciting. That way. He was like, if someone or something gets in the way of the jelly, fucking grab it and just hold it down. Hold it till it stops moving. This is my peanut butter and jelly maker. Do you like it, Richie?
Put it in the sandwich. Yeah, everything about this is upsetting. They get chased into a giant bird footprint that somehow has motor oil in the bottom of it. Like, I get where they're going with this, but that's weird, right?
It also doesn't match the size of the robot vulture that shows up momentarily.
Not at all. At which point they get chased by a giant elephant, and yes, a giant vulture. They use special binoculars, Richie Rich does, which allows him to like X-ray vision through just the vulture, not the elephant, to determine that it's hollow, it's mechanical, to the point where he could see inside driving it from a huge distance away is Bonham Bullwhip, the famous animal trainer turned crook.
Barnum Bullwhip, as in P.T. Barnum.
Oh, Barnum. Okay, well, here's the deal. I didn't care for him.
Oh, but I'm pretty sure that they want you to be on his side.
Like, I'm on no one's side
like
here.
Like this crazed dude with a hypno ray and a giant space laser, or I guess a giant Africa laser, because the whole point was that it could destroy all of Africa.
I would like you to explain this to me. This is like Cobra Commander's wet dream. He has an African laser, which allows him to not destroy Africa, but control it. A Control Africa laser.
Okay. So they follow this giant condor, which is being piloted by Barnum.
And they follow him in a hot air balloon, which does not feel like a good choice for the maneuverability of a flying vulture.
I do. The one gag that I did like was that Cadbury shows up every day at 4 o'clock on the dot, no matter what, to serve tea. And so they're like, we need backup. We'll just wait because it's almost 4 o'clock and Cadbury will be here. And he does show up. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool.
I didn't hate that.
But he shows up in a hot air balloon and then gives chase. And of course, a hot air balloon doesn't work when you have a giant fucking robot condor coming at you.
Also, when a dog runs up the side of the balloon.
Yeah. The dog does a lot of things wrong that accidentally end up being right. So, like, sure.
Because say right now, this dog is a fucking idiot. Like, I didn't care for the dog before this, and the dog actively is trying to kill itself, shoving its face in the middle of a peanut butter. And like, you know how sandwiches work. It's not done yet. Why are you shoving your face into the peanut butter?
I would. Okay, fine. Part of it is on Dollar. Part of it is on that fucked up professor who trained his robot arms to do BDSM while making sandwiches.
Well, we know what the doctor's into. It's a niche taste, but it's a quality one.
Okay, so
the vulture just crashes because the balloon rips. I'm not sure how any of this works.
No, in cartoon world, hot air balloon works the same way as a helium balloon. When you like poke a little hole in it, it goes.
That is actually true in cartoons.
Yeah. So yes, they're in the fortress, this building inside Mystery Mountain. Gloria says,
"Who lives building a fortress inside Mystery Mountain? And he's got a giant laser ray aimed right at Africa."
A giant laser ray. They're in Africa.
They're in Africa.
And the laser is there. It doesn't appear to be pointed anywhere in particular, but this girl determines that it is pointed at, I mean, I guess if you pointed it at the ground, it would technically be.
You are pointing at Africa.
I don't know what the absolute fuck is happening. Okay.
And my laser ray will enable me to control all Africa.
Okay, so this is a hypno ray. It's hypnotized all of these animals to help build this fortress.
Is the hypno ray white? Is it black? Is it Chinese?
Yeah, which one is the hypno ray? Is that a red one?
No, hypno is an entirely different ethnicity.
Okay. Understood.
I don't know if you're familiar with Pokemon, but you have hypno and drowsy. You have a plethora of psychic Pokemon. Hypno evolves into Hypno and Drowsy. No, Drowsy evolves into Hypno. My goodness, I'm just showing my whole ass here to the Pokemon fans that are listening. It's
gonna let you drown yourself in Pokeballs, Chan.
You can gargle my Pokeballs. Look, this is a Hypno ray. He plans to use it once his fortress is completed. I don't know if he had planned to build a giant lens so that this hypno ray will extend across all of Africa.
No, it's pointed at Africa, Chan.
Then what does he need the fortress for?
Don't worry about that. I have an honest question.
Oh boy.
The plot of Mr. Bullwhip is he's using a hypno ray to control large animals to build him a base and act as his like guards.
Yeah.
How is what he is doing any worse than what Richie Rich is doing?
Well, Richie uses robots.
With his animals, I mean. Like, he has them stuck in a private safari park that is overcrowded, and he forces them all to wear, like, these Richie Rich collars.
Yeah, I at first I thought they were mind control collars, like adding into the mind control, but then I realized they're just decorative.
They're just what Richie Rich makes all of the wild animals wear on his properties.
Oh yeah, because they got like diamonds and shit. So like, it's not enough that he has a fucking rhino. It has to be a classy rhino, a very Donald right. Trump style rhino.
You might call it a spearmint rhino.
Would I? I wouldn't know because I don't frequent those sorts of places.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call your wife real quick and see if she's if what's going on with you here.
No, she's at the Spearmint Rhino right now. You're not going to get her.
Is she working tonight? Shit, I gotta get over there. I told her I would.
some fan and supporter you are, Robert Clark Chan.
Well, you know, I just get all of these improv invites and I just ignore them. I didn't realize that one of them was someone actually performing, for heaven's sake.
It's a classy act.
Real work, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, she's probably just there doing research for, a sketch or something.
I'm concerned about the kind of sketches she's writing, but
yeah. That's why I said I went.
Yeah, okay.
So a gorilla disguise they put the dog in. It's 2 for 2 in doggy disguises, except that the gorilla like sees the dog in the gorilla costume as its child and tries to nuzzle it.
You can
causing the dog to
you can tell
run away.
It's a female gorilla because she got
it is a female gorilla. Lips. It is distracting.
There are there's sort of shorthand for various cartoons to denote, you know, especially in situation where you've got a gorilla or an elephant or something like that, and you have to make it clear that this animal is either in love with something that it shouldn't be, or it is caring for it as a child, and there's not a whole lot of ways that you can particularly do that with a gorilla. Big lips, I guess, is one of them. Eyelashes, I would have expected eyelashes,
lipstick.
Weirdly,
they'll do that.
Richie has eyelashes that, in I feel like most situations like this, would denote him a female character.
They did that in the 80s though. I mean unless they start without eyelashes like a Bugs Bunny when he turns into a chick.
Oh yeah.
But I think for little kids, I don't know, do Peanuts characters have eyelashes?
A redhead girl almost certainly does. I don't know if any of the rest of them do.
Back to the dog having no survival instincts. The Hypno Ray is just shooting at a random spot on the ground, and the dog just runs straight into it.
Walks right into that shit, and that is real irritating.
Like, I'm just getting angry with this. I was already upset, and now I'm just like, you stupid ass dog. What is wrong with you? I'm just gonna move fast here because look, Gina's got an out time.
And I
so does Ray,
as do I,
over this. So I guess we all have reasons to get out of here.
There's a rhino that charges after Richie Rich. He pulls out Jungle Vine in a can and swings around and ends up like wrapping people up with it. These gorillas menace Cadbury and the girl. I did like the bit where he's using like an umbrella to like fence them
like
off.
The Avengers.
It's kind of great. Yeah, I did like that.
I very much need to play this clip.
Your friends are helpless against my hypnotized gorillas.
Who wouldn't want to rule over your friends and neighbors with hypnotized gorillas, I ask you?
I mean, I love that. This is where the episode is a winner for me.
This feels like Trump talking to the Hispanic community, foreigners of all stripes in America. Just pulling out the ice and just being like, your friends are helpless against my hypnotized gorillas.
Yeah, that's unfortunately very on the nose in 2025. Yeah, I didn't understand this bit because the dog has this idea that he's going to vine swing and then grab this lion. And then he kind of wakes up from this daydream and he's hovering past the cliff and he has to run back, but he's still hypnotized. And he's walking like a sleepwalker with the arms out. And I didn't get this.
You skipped past the part that I was irritated by that I mentioned earlier. They're both up by the laser that hypnotizes people. And once it's disabled, everybody will be unhypnotized. Richie Rich swings down because the gorillas are threatening his friends, and does a thing where it says knock knock, and like they don't respond. So he's like, said knock knock. So they go, and then he just fucking ties him up. He didn't need to do the knock knock thing because he's has fucking super speed because he's rich, I guess.
Yeah.
But more importantly, he does that. Then the lion thing happens.
To be fair, Chan, rich people need super speed so they can run away from the consequences of their own actions.
And then after all of this happens, Richie's like, oh, now I'm back up by the laser that I was just at.
It's just there.
And I unplug it.
He unplugs a giant unplug. I mean, who puts a plug that big in the side of a cave?
Who fucking is right there and can just pull the plug and end it, and instead decides to jump down and tie up two gorillas, two hypnotized gorillas?
Like, and they shoot a jelly cannon at the at the villain, and that just gets him, and we're but done no, here. Richie not, Rich again.
That's the peanut butter and jelly machine that shoots peanut butter and jelly onto the bad guy, and the elephant loves peanuts, and therefore...
Okay. Well, look, in international law, Richie Rich is the law. He basically is ICE, but for other countries now, apparently, too. Rich person's domain over the law is universal across continents.
Are you suggesting that a white person who just does whatever the fuck they want in Africa is new?
I've seen Kraven the Hunter.
I have not. Mm. Why? Well, would you?
You're missing out.
Am I?
Yes.
Am I?
Yes.
Here's the deal. Chan, I'll tell you and the people at home. Watch the first 10 or so minutes.
Can you explain this in 5 seconds, please?
Yes. The first 10 or so minutes of Kraven the Hunter. And as soon as you see your first child, turn it off. You've seen absolutely everything there is to see about this movie.
First child? What the?
They show you one of the best. Honestly, I thought the movie was going to be excellent after 10 minutes.
Yeah. The opening sequence is rad as hell.
Very good. And then they cut to immediately. Well, did you like that? Would you like to spend 40 minutes with this character as a child? No.
Yeesh.
No, I would not. And it never recovers from that.
Good to know.
Anyway, my last comment on this Richie Rich episode is just no.
No.
Just no. No.
Rich people forever.
Damn it, Gina.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of The Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming, and we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on The Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh my god.
I was traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.